I was waiting for the ambulance to bugger off, but you just leapt right in there like swimwear, didn't you?
Yeah, it's all right, mate. It's only an ambulance.
It's only an ambulance. It's only someone's mother on the floor clutching at her head.
How do you know? You ain't got a fucking crystal ball. Right.
How do you know what's in my undercrackers?
I don't know. Bearded Opinion, episode 6 billion and 7.
Well, it's 70-something, I know that.
Yeah, well...
I think it's 77.
I thought we'd already breached the 100 mark, to be honest, but never mind.
No, I think it's 77.
Usual format, and no, we will not be discussing the current conflict in Europe. So, if that's what you've come here for, bugger off.
You're unwanted.
We've got...
Oh no, 72. I'm ahead by one. 72 we're on.
Good. We've got barely anything to talk about because there's fuck all coming out in the gaming world, all the movie world, and there's barely anything going on in the news that does not revolve around the conflict in Europe. So, we'll just jump straight in.
I guess. I don't even think there's been anything in the gaming or movie news world, has there, recently?
Not majorly. Obviously, we've just been waiting, haven't we, for new stuff.
Mm. I know the Steam Deck has had its all official specs released, and it's supposed to be more powerful than the Switch.
It does look quite good, though.
It does. I'm not...
But it'd have to be more powerful than the Switch, because look at the games that Steam deals with. It'd have to be more powerful than the Switch.
But, yeah.
It's not one for me to buy, because there's no point. I have a PC. But I can understand why there would be some families out there that may buy one.
I think there'll be a market for it, because I think Steam at this point... Because obviously they failed with the Steam machine trying to compete with Sony and Microsoft.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going after Nintendo as being that extra console with the Steam machine.
I mean, it's possible.
I think it's a dumb idea to go after Nintendo.
Yeah, Nintendo have basically held on to that little part of the market since the beginning of Nintendo.
Yeah, well, since the Game Boy.
Yeah.
Back in the 90s.
The handheld market, I mean, if... PlayStation couldn't break the handheld market. Steam's got no chance.
With their PSP.
And the PS Vita as well.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about the Vita. That came and went.
Well, the PSP wasn't actually a bad idea. Apart from the fact that if you wanted to, like, you had to buy your games again.
Yeah.
Because it was that era where you had discs and stuff. So you had to buy your cartridges.
Yeah.
And then you had to go out, and if you wanted to watch films on it, if you couldn't put them on there legitimately, quotes... then you had to go and buy the film in PSP format, which was the mistake that was made, but unfortunately technology at the time.
I think if PlayStation tried to do the PSP now, it would do better. With digital downloads, I mean.
Potentially, but I think the main issue that you're always going to have with the handheld market is that Nintendo are the cornerstone.
Of course they are.
Fair enough. Nintendo have never been the best for graphics.
No.
They've never been the best for necessarily gameplay, but what they have always been... brilliant at is the stories of their games,
yeah.
Because they make you want to play them. Yeah. I mean, we all remember playing Pokemon as a kid.
Oh yeah.
And
you mean the same game that they trot out every year, like the Dying Horse?
But we still buy them. I mean, Pokemon is, fair enough, Pokemon is pretty much, I would argue, the biggest IP for Nintendo, next to Mario,
yeah,
and Zelda.
I think you could go Zelda, Sonic, Mario and Pokemon are holding up Nintendo.
What was that?
That sounded like a cat.
Well, cat's there.
Oh.
Possibly the rats.
Could have been.
But,
cat's,
I mean...
going to have a look for us.
I mean, Pokemon, obviously, this year came out with Arceus.
Yeah, and at the end of last year, you had Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl.
Yeah, and then you had Let's Go Eevee and Let's Go Pikachu, and you've had Sword and Shield, and you've had...
That was the UK-based one, yeah.
And all that sort of stuff. But Pokemon is one of those IPs that people, even today, are still really interested in.
I mean, do you remember when Pokemon Go first came out?
It was massive.
That was like the summer of love.
But it shut cities down because there were thousands of idiots traipsing down main roads trying to catch Charizard.
It was still so cool that everyone was just out.
And Pokemon, I mean, but that's why it's going to be difficult for anyone, anyone to crack
the handheld games market. I think it's going to be a long time before... Yes, I agree with you on that, and I think it's going to be a long time before we see anything like Pokemon Go again.
Yeah, definitely. Well, there's tons of games that keep trying, but oh, yeah. they just don't work.
Harry Potter Go was the first one.
There's the Harry Potter one, there's the Witcher one now, there's the Jurassic World one.
Oh yeah, I remember him doing that.
There's one that's called, I think it's called Thief or Snatch. That one was basically a similar idea, but you just go around and you have to nick parcels. Right. And then that actually would turn into real life points that you could use to buy vouchers and shit.
Like an Amazon gift card.
But didn't work out very well either. But
well, no, because stuff like that is always based on either people spending money or watching ads.
Yeah, but in terms of the Steam Deck, I think it'll be it won't do as well as the Switch, because the Switch is now well and truly long-standing. But I think there will be a small market for it that may, if it gets better, become bigger. But they've picked one hell of a fight.
Oh, yeah.
One hell of a fight.
It'd be like picking a fight with Disney, wouldn't it? Yeah. You just don't do it
because they buy you out. So...
What movie companies have we got left at the minute? Disney and Warner Brothers, that's about it, isn't it?
Paramount.
Yeah, but aren't they a subsidiary of someone who...
Aren't they a subsidiary of Universal?
Yeah, which is part of...
Yeah, they're all owned by the same people.
Well, yeah, Disney or Warner Brothers at this point.
Well, yeah, but even they're owned by a massive conglomerate umbrella corporation, aren't they?
Brothers is Time Warner.
Yeah, they're basically all...
I think it's just called Warner.
It's like
now.
Five people own like 90% of all businesses on the fucking planet. So.
Yeah, something stupid like that.
Right, so this month, we'll get to the new games that are coming out because there's not really much coming out. So,
were you going to say about that disappointment?
Yeah, yeah, I'll do that after I've announced these games. Okay. So, we've got LX2. I don't think I remember playing LX, to be fair. So, it's an action RPG. It's not one that has really ever come up in my mind to play, but it might be pretty decent. I know a lot of people do enjoy them, don't they? Then we've got an adventure game called Far Changing Tides. I'm almost certain that's a sequel.
I don't know. You're reeling off games, mate, that I ain't heard of. I don't know these.
Then we've got one that actually surprised me, which is Shadow Warrior 3. Now, I remember the old 90s Shadow Warriors, which were basically like Duke Nukem. They were basically based around Duke Nukem 3D, because I think they were actually 3D Realms
I honestly couldn't tell you. I know the ones you're on. Was it a Shadow Warriors game that tried to get in on the... Oh, what were they called?
Cleaner game?
No. Donut. That was Viscera Cleanup Detail.
Yeah, which Shadow Warrior had a version of.
Oh, did they?
They released a version of that game based within the maps of Shadow Warrior.
Didn't they try and do a game which was like the old... they got the actual people to do it. To do the fighting. And then they put them in the... You know the ones I mean? The ones that were... You'd play them on videotapes at one point. I can't think of the type of game they were called.
No, I can't think what you're on about now.
You can't? No. Oh.
But
you know the ones where they use real people in video games?
Yeah, yeah.
That style of game, I'm sure they did.
It's possible they did. But Shadow Warrior 1 was an interesting game. These are obviously... When I'm talking about Shadow Warrior 1, I'm actually on about the noughties releases, not the 90s releases.
Weren't they 80s Shadow Warrior?
No, they were noughties because they came out the same time as Duke Nukem. So, I remember playing Shadow Warrior 1 and 2. They were pretty decent games. It was just that, it's that hack and slash style first person shooter where you just destroy
it. Waste a few hours and...
And kill as much as you can, basically. Shadow Warrior 3 will be more of that, and that's what I'm looking forward to. Because I've just started playing Serious Sam 4, which is basically that same sort of game. You know, Doom, but on speed, and just, it's a good way
what
to kill a couple
when you
of
give
hours.
Doom guy a line of coke.
Yeah, basically. So I'll be looking forward to playing that. You've then got Gran Turismo 7 coming out for the PlayStations, because it's coming out on 5 and 4, which it's starting to really bug me now that obviously everything's still coming out on the older consoles, because they can't sell enough newer consoles because the scalpers have got them all.
And they can't produce the parts to produce them in the...
And GT7 would have been a next-gen game. They would have developed it for that, and it's another one that they would have turned around and gone, yeah, you're going to have to put it on the old-gen now, so just basically cut off the shit out. And,
well, they just downgrade the graphics, don't they?
And it is really annoying.
Although, on the topic of things like PlayStations and graphics cards being short,
yeah,
the two largest silicon mines have now reopened.
Good.
To 100%. And you know that American billionaire who was throwing money in that small town to build the new plant that processes them into the chips?
Mm.
He's nearing completion on his plant because he's got more money than sense and has spent it on getting everything through as quick as he bloody well can.
Yeah.
Hiring builders, I suppose.
GTA 5 is coming out again, this time for new-gen consoles, PS5 and the Xbox X.
See... Dude,
but they have announced that GTA 6 is now in production.
Oh, have they?
But it's not looking likely it's going to be in the next year or so.
What are you saying, 25?
No, 24, 25, somewhere around that era.
I would imagine. But does this mean that I still can't, yet, as of yet, play GTA 5 on my microwave?
Yes.
I'm disappointed.
It won't take long.
I'm upset.
Then Settlers, the real-time strategy game, is getting a 2022 reboot of the games. So if you're into those real-time strategies, I know a lot of people like the Settlers, didn't they? Because it was a nice mix of
gameplay. Yeah, I've never been one into my RTSs.
I started with RTSs when I was a kid. I used to remember playing Age of Empires, sort of stuff. And then Star Wars.
From the dodgy uncle who always got you. Do you want a free game?
Then I remember playing the Star Wars variants of those RTSs with Galactic Battlegrounds. And then I also remember playing the Lord of the Rings variants of those games as well. But I'm not really one for RTSs nowadays. I just find them too
long-winded. The only RTS I've ever really played was that Alien one. I can't think of what it's called now. XCOM.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. Then moving on throughout the rest of the month, and there's not really a lot other than Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, which is basically Borderlands, because it is Borderlands.
Yeah, it's Borderlands 3.5, but I don't know, I've seen the trailers and read the stuff, and I think we're going to end up with more classes and abilities this time.
But it's more Borderlands.
You're never going to let that go,
are you? No, because it's going to just be more Borderlands.
But Call of Duty is always more Call of Duty, and Halo is always more Halo.
I completely agree, and it's time that... The developers look to changing the games to make them a little bit different.
Well, we'll see what this... I think, story-wise, I think this one's obviously going to change because the whole point is she's just telling a D&D campaign.
Yeah.
So I think story-wise, we might, and I will say might, in big 60-foot neon letters with aeroplanes flying around it, end up with a different story that isn't... Find the vault before the bad guy, kill the bad guy because he gets there first and still doesn't stop the unspeakable horror from beyond time and space.
Yeah, because Borderlands is always the same story.
Yeah. I'm hoping it's not that. I'm hoping it's a little bit... I don't think it's going to be massive. I'm hoping a little bit different. Ghostwire Tokyo.
Yeah, there's Ghostwire Tokyo.
I didn't spot that.
PC and PlayStation 5.
That could be good. Ghostwire games are pretty good.
Death Stranding's Director's Cut is coming out on the PC.
Apparently... That is, rumours are from people who got betas and playtests. You know.
To be fair, when the hype was for Death Stranding, it was a game that interested me. When the game came out, I instantly it shit.
It went from what looked like an open world survival horror type game in the trailers,
post-apocalyptic postman.
Yeah.
That's basically what the game
Post-apocalyptic Postman Pat.
Yeah, it's not a game for me.
No.
Starship Troopers, Terran Commandos are coming out, another RTS game.
I think I've seen something for that Weird West as well.
I've not seen anything for that, unfortunately.
I think I saw something, and it looked like one of those games that don't buy it when it's new.
No.
Wait for it to go on sale, but I think it's going to be one of them, you know when you're like... I fancy doing something a bit different.
Yeah.
Play that, waste an afternoon, and you'd be golden.
So, my big disappointment for the last month of gaming was Dying Light 2, Stay Human.
You try and stay human?
Yeah, but it doesn't make a difference anyway. You're already infected.
Spoilers!
It doesn't really make a difference. You get infected at the start of the first fucking Dying Light as well. That's the whole point of the thing. Everyone's infected. For me, they kept going on about how much they've improved the parkour, how much they've improved the parkour combat, and that sort of stuff. And unfortunately, it feels clunky.
Mm.
It doesn't feel as smooth as the first game did. The first game's parkour was a lot like Mirror's Edge, which I did enjoy. And it's just little things that they've changed. Like, one of the biggest changes for me that I'm really pissed off about is the grappling hook.
Mm.
The grappling... When you Dying Light 1, there was a lot of relatively tall buildings.
Yeah.
Okay, so the grappling hook was a great bit of kit because it acts a lot like Batman's grappling hook from the Arkham games. You shoot it somewhere and it pulls you up to it. Well, the grappling hook in this one now is basically a piece of rope with a spike on the end of it. It will fire into pretty much anything, but it doesn't pull you. So you'll be on like an edge of a
so you
cliff.
Effectively end up with a ship version of Spider-Man's webbing.
Yes. And that is a problem because all the buildings in this game, with it being set in a bigger city, are massive. So losing that ability to be able to zip line up to different parts. Now, I get the fact that the game is set 15 years after the first one. So the whole world is wiped out by this point. The city that you're in is basically like the last standing city of humanity. But they didn't need to remove so much. I don't care about guns. I'm not bothered about this fact. There are no guns in it, apart from the finger guns. You can find a blueprint to use a finger gun, which doesn't really kill zombies. It sort of blasts them back. Fine. I'm not bothered about the guns. Whatever. But don't remove bits that actually help you get around the map. Like, they've introduced this paraglider, which in the adverts you thought to yourself, oh great, so that's how you'll get around.
I'll grappling up to the tallest building, paraglide
out, and I can get where I need to get to. No, because the minute you open your paraglider, your stamina bar, even when you've leveled it up to max, just fucking whoosh, down as quickly as you can like. So then as soon as you've run out of stamina, because you're obviously trying to fight the wind, as soon as you run out of stamina, you can't use your paraglider no more. It's a waste of time. So it's not for long distance, it's for short distance, like roof to roof. So it's just not very good.
Which most games deal with by allowing you to do a half-decent jump.
Yeah. Which, in this game, there's no sprinting. So like,
hang on a minute. I've got the horde of the undead charging at me, trying to munch on my ankles.
Yeah, because you basically...
And I can't turn tail...
No, you can turn tail that easy. You just press Y and you do a 180
but
straight
on
the spot.
But I cannot run my ass away. I've got to waddle my ass away.
Yeah, you run at a speed of like a jog, which does generally actually help you run out of the way of pretty much every zombie in the game, but there is no sprint button. So if you want to do what I would consider to be a really good quick jump, you can't. Because you're not sprinting. Now once you've started levelling up your stamina and stuff, it does sort of introduce almost like a dash. So you sort of get a little bit of speed, but you have to time it right when you're jumping. It just doesn't... They've basically taken the best bits of the first game and ruined it.
Reinvent the wheel.
Yeah. I would have been happy at this stage with a little bit more of Dying Light. Now, it is still Dying Light. I'm not saying it's not, but bring over stuff from the first game that worked. Grappling hook worked. The running around worked. Now, obviously, this game, they want you to not really be on the streets as much because the whole point is that with it being 15 years later, most of the dead are either in dark zones, hibernating, which is, I do like that. And then,
a bit like, because I've not played it, so I'm trying to relate it to things I know. A bit like in The Last of Us, the first one, where...
Bear in mind, I've never played The Last of Us because I've only recently just got a PlayStation.
Have you not even seen it?
I've seen little bits of gameplay.
You know where they're like in the walls, where they're... change it to this. Where in the Pirates of the Caribbean, the second and third film, where the crew come out of the ship.
No, it's more like... basically, the dead are... They sort of crouch down in like little balls, stood all over the floor. Now, if you're quiet, even with your torch on, you can sort of... As long as you don't get too close, you can sort of furry your way around them. And then there are real dark zones where basically the volatiles, which are not as really heavily in the game as the first one, and like the running zombies and stuff, they tend to congregate until night time. So the whole point of the game is that you're supposed to wait till night time to then sneak into these so-called dark zones because there's less infected in them.
Because they've gone out in the street.
And then you can clear the dark zone out and then fill it full of UV light and then they can't no longer go back in.
And then you can put people in there.
Sort of thing, yeah. But no, they've basically taken, for me, some of the best bits from the first game and gone, we're improving them, and ruined it. Right. And it's just, the story's great. Story follows a young bloke called Aiden. He's looking for his sister. They were both experimented on back during the same sort of time as the first game. As children, they were experimented on with the virus, while the GRE, the main antagonists, are basically, you know, trying to create a cure. But in actual fact, it seems that the scientist that was working on him was actually trying to figure out a way to turn the virus into making himself superhuman, which he seemingly has succeeded doing, because he is the main villain in this game. But
so he tried to turn himself into Darkseid?
Basically. But, I don't know, I think with the fact that the parkour isn't as good as the first game, no matter what anyone says, and I think a lot of people are actually agreeing with that, that the game really just doesn't feel as smooth as the first one did. And I think that is the main problem, because we've just been hearing from the developers for the last year or so how good this game's going to be and how smooth it's going to run. And they do.
Does it seem more like a game they made for themselves than for the public?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is a shame, because the game had so much potential. I'm still going to play it. I've still got to finish the story out, because, you know, I've started it, so I'll finish it. But
first time for everything.
It's not the game that should have been out, basically. Yeah.
I'm just going to touch on these two. Two of the other big releases this month have obviously been Horizon Forbidden West.
Yes.
Which, apparently over the past few days, has been getting review bombed. From what I've actually heard, it's just okay. Like, there's nothing wrong, game-breaking, catastrophically wrong. It's not the next coming of Jesus.
No.
It's just a game. They've just released a game. And
they basically just released Horizon Zero Dawn again, but with a different map.
And a slightly different story, yeah. But people are review bombing it. And well, it's like, grow the fuck up.
People always review bomb games, but unfortunately for them, a lot of people don't actually follow the reviews because they hear about the
thing
review
is,
bombs.
Originally, right, so when we started, we had no choice but to listen to these critics and reviewers in magazines.
Yes.
Then they released like public reviews, sites like Metacritic and stuff like that, where the public could review it. And then Steam reviews, and we were like, great, we're going to listen to the people who've played it. Great. Now review bombing's become a thing. People have almost gone, they're now pushing people back to listening to those people in Metacritic, you know, the people who get paid to do this. Because they've not got a choice.
For me, now, the best way to figure out if a game is going to be good for you or not, hit YouTube.
Yeah.
Type in whichever game it is, gameplay footage.
Yeah.
And someone play the first half an hour of the game. If within that first half an hour video that you watch, you don't feel like that's a game for you, don't play it.
Yeah. Or if obviously it's one of those games that some of them have a lengthy intro, maybe skip to episode 4 or something.
Yeah.
And just have a look at...
Watch 15 to 30 minutes
of the play. Do the click through the search bar thing and go, what are they doing? Are they having, you know, are they playing or is this a cutscene? Because obviously if they're just playing, you're probably okay with spoiler free, for the most part. If they're in a cutscene, you might want to skip past it.
Yeah, but...
The other one, yeah.
That's the best way of doing it.
Yeah.
Watch some gameplay.
No, that's a fair
because
point.
For me, back when I was a kid, if I wanted to play a game... Then obviously yes, I'd get my mum to buy me the PlayStation mag, but those mags came with demo discs.
Yeah.
With that game on it, and you could sit and play 10 minutes of that game, and then you'd know straight away, yes, this is a game for me.
Yeah. The other one is Elden Ring.
Yeah.
From the creators of Dark Souls, Bloodborne, Sekiro, Demon Souls.
Yeah, yeah.
Which we played all three Dark Souls, not to completion, but we attempted.
We generally start die at the first boss about 60 times ago. It's not a game for us.
But
and most people are turning around and go, well, you need to get good. Well, yeah, but I have no intention of getting good. So
yeah,
it's not a game
for
me.
Don't fancy investing my life into this. So, you know, now, don't get me wrong, when you've mastered one, you probably can get around the others quite...
Well, yeah, because they're all the same thing. Attack, dodge, attack, dodge,
and
attack.
And you've just got to learn boss patterns at that point.
Yeah.
Which you can... But what I've heard from Elden Ring is basically they've got the thing that everyone wants, and more modders have put in the Dark Souls games than have hot dinners. Difficulty selects.
Yeah.
And what I've heard is, because this is the first game they've done it with, where you've actually got, like, easy... I assume it's easy, normal, hard. Because obviously it's not technically out for us till tomorrow.
Yeah.
But plenty of people have had early copies, because you know what some companies like. Oh, we've got them in. Well, ship them out then.
Yeah.
But no, I'm supposed to really get them out. The difficulty is right and balanced, and it's the way it should be. So if you play on hard, you're playing a Dark Souls game.
Yeah.
If you play on normal, you're playing your average sort of game that most...
Your average hack and slash.
Yeah, action-adventure thing. But, the difficulty... You will die sometimes. You know, not just to bosses. Like, in a lot of games, you will die to the normal enemies as you learn.
Yeah.
And then easy is very much what easy says on the tin. You might die to a boss now and then.
But you're here for a story, not to die, yeah. Effectively.
They've done easy, normal, hard right. Which, I've said it before, that's my problem with the Spider-Man games. There's like 5 difficulty levels on that.
Well, it's normally into something like Web-Slinger, Amazing, Incredible, Ultimate.
Yeah.
And Ultimate is basically very hard.
Yeah. Basically, it goes very easy, easy, normal, hard, very hard. My issue with that game, so you can go easy and very easy are basically the same.
Yeah, you just take less hit point damage when you get attacked.
And then normal, hard, and extra hard, they're the same.
Yeah.
And that's, I found, the problem with a lot of games.
Well, the average game, whenever they go, right, the hard mode. Well, the hard mode means that instead of 5 shots to kill an enemy, it takes 10.
Yeah.
But instead of there being 10 enemies, there's now 20.
Yeah.
And that's all they ever do.
Yeah.
They don't make any of the game harder at all. They've just basically increased the amount
of
enemies.
Whereas this seems to have done things like adjusting attack patterns. So, you know, in a lot of like Dark Souls games and a lot of the JRPGs, when a boss gets below a certain health, it'll start doing things like DMs, which are desperation moves, which are generally massive all-out one-hit kill attacks.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll still do them in easy mode, but it won't be a one-hit kill.
Yeah, yeah.
But it'll be changed. It'll be an easier attack to avoid. So, say for argument's sake, they do a 360, they might only do a 180 in easy mode.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can dodge to the other side of them and you're safe. Things like that. It's a difficulty slider that's done well. So
good.
Yeah.
I've also been playing.
Maybe at some point we'll give that a go.
Yeah.
And people can laugh at us how bad we are at that.
I've also been playing. I've mentioned Serious Sam. Like I say, it's basically like playing Doom / Duke Nukem, but on Earth.
Mm.
But I quite like that because it's just one of them games you don't have to think. You're just slaughtering.
Yeah.
The other game I've been playing quite a bit of at the moment is God of War. Because now it's on PC, I thought, well, I'll buy it and I'll play it.
It's a good game. It is a good game.
I am really enjoying it.
I played it on the PlayStation. I did discover I didn't save any of the footage from the stream, so I might have to replay it on PC at some point.
It's
bollocks. It's a lot easier to get it to do games like this on the PC because you don't have to drag out all the extra shit.
No, it's a good game. I'm quite enjoying it. I'm glad that it's come to PC because it is a game that I wanted to play.
Although the annoyance is it comes out not long after you get a PS4.
Yeah, but I'm not really bothered about that. I got the PlayStation for 2 games. Spider-Man Miles Morales.
Yeah, have you heard they might be coming as a dual pack to... They might be the next Sony game to come on the PC.
Yeah, well, if they do, then I'll get them again and put them on PC. It don't really bother me.
Thing is, to be fair, I've said, because I've got them on the PS4, I will 100% get them on PC, but you know what else? If they don't come... Well, regardless of if they go to PC, when I eventually get a PS5, I'm not one for rebuying games. Like, you could argue...
I thought with your PlayStation releases, if you've got them on PlayStation 4, you can upgrade them to the PlayStation 5 copy for free.
Don't know if that was a limited time thing. I don't...
I very much doubt they'll have kept a time limit on it, considering how many people were not able to get the PlayStation.
But either way... whatever. If I can upgrade, great, I'll do it. If I have to buy again, I'm going to buy again.
PlayStation 5 is backwards compatible for PlayStation 4, isn't
it? Yeah, I know, but there are actually some... I know it sounds steely. There are some suit unlocks that are only on the PS5 version. It's an annoyance to me, and it was an annoyance to a lot of people, but it's something I... Mm-hmm. If I have to buy them again, I'll buy them again. But, like, I'm not... You know, and that's the thing. I'm not one for rebuying games.
No.
The only games I rebought was Kingdom Hearts, and I got the PS4 version when I used to own the PS2 version. Mm. I think two generations, you're allowed to rebuy game. You know what I mean? That's why PC's always better, though, because you can always play it again and again and again.
Right, we'll move into the limited films that we have coming out this month, starting off with The Batman. This is the first Batman film that has a 175-minute runtime.
Yeah.
So we're talking nearly a three-hour film.
Yeah.
Just on the Batman.
Yeah.
Now, this is set in Batman's younger years.
But not... Still not...
It's not an origin story.
I still want proper Batman. Not a Bruce Wayne's parents dying like we get with Gotham. I want Batman... Like early years, I want him.
We got that with the Dark Knights. The
not
we got them with yeah, but Christian Bale's all Christian Bale's Batman stories were origin stories.
Yeah, can't I want a proper one though, where he builds his very first suit.
Mm. Yeah. I don't think we'll ever get that.
Don't think we will, but that's what I want. I know I'm probably in a minority there, but you know when you go, we've literally had a proper Superman origin.
Mm.
We've had a proper Spider-Man origin. We've done X-Men origin films. We've done Marvel origin. I want Batman. I don't want Martha and his dad dying. I can't think of his dad's name.
Thomas.
Thomas, thank you. I don't want them dying. Well, you can show it for the 5 seconds that they do if you want. But I want him going... I've got my money. There's crime starting to really ramp up. And builds that first bat suit. Alfred finds. I want that film. That's the film I want.
This one is Batman and Catwoman, effectively, because Catwoman is going to be helping the Batman, and they're going up against Riddler, which is good because this Riddler is actually going to be the psychotic, serial-killing Riddler that it should have always been.
And
we're not going to be getting Jim Carrey running around in a green leotard with bright red hair
as
anymore.
Funny and amusing as that was.
So this actually... Yeah. I'm looking forward to this. I'm still sat on the fence with the film because I'm not being funny, but The Dark Knight Rises was with... That was the Heath Ledger one, wasn't it? Was that the Dark... Or was it just The Dark Knight?
There was Batman... The Dark Knight, right, Batman, there's Batman Begins, Batman the Dark Knight, and Batman the Dark Knight Rises?
Whichever one had Heath Ledger's Joker in it
has
been one of the best Batman films released in a long time.
Yeah.
If we go back to the, we'll always skip over the George Clooney film, because that wasn't Batman, that was Batman meets comedy. It was basically like, what happens if we put the 60s Batman in a proper Batman suit, and then you get the George Clooney film?
But I'd rather watch Adam West before Batman.
Yes. But if we go back to the older films, like with Danny DeVito in The Penguin, with the Penguin.
That was just called Batman, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was Tim Burton as well, which is why it was
good.
Well,
all of them were Tim Burton.
Yeah.
Even the George Clooney one.
Yeah, but he went stupid with that one, didn't he? It weren't really a proper Tim Burton film.
I'm looking forward to this one. I'm hoping that we get a... Because, one of Batman's subtitles is the world's greatest detective.
Yeah.
The Riddler is one of those people who forces him to be a fucking detective.
Well, I think that's the whole point, because this time it's all about the investigation of all the corruption and what his family's involvement was in it.
Yeah.
So, I'm looking forward to watching it. It's not going to be a cinema watch for me, but I am looking forward to watching it.
Right, it's not going to be a cinema watch for me, because next month we're getting Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
So, that'll be the cinema for me.
Downton Abbey have got a second film coming out. I think they're doing them as film releases now because the TV series weren't getting the viewers, but they knew there were enough people that needed to carry on the story. It's not one for me to watch, but there will be a lot of people that want to watch it.
Oh, what's that? I just saw the word horror. I'm sorry, I'm a sucker.
Unwelcome.
So
murderous goblins in London.
Now Ireland. Rural Ireland.
Oh, right, yeah, but Londoners.
So Londoners in Ireland. So they're not. Thing is, it's not going to be murderous goblins and gremlins lurking around. It's just the Irish. They just don't want Londoners there. It's just the local populace.
It's basically going to be trying to be a proper serious horror where the leprechaun is the bad guy.
Well, it's
going to
be leprechauns.
Because the leprechaun films were not scary. No. They're them old style horrors with the corn blood.
But the thing is, they knew. They weren't scary. They did it as humour.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, but that's what it's going to try and be. It's going to be trying to make leprechauns serious.
And then to close the month out, we have an action adventure comedy film called The Lost City. It's got a big cast. You've got Sandra Bullock in there, Brad Pitt, Channing Tatum, Daniel Radcliffe. I've not really heard much about it, but I'm always up for an action comedy if they're good. So... with the cast that's in it, we know that Sandra Bullock can do action comedy. She's done loads of them recently, and they've always been a laugh.
She was Red, wasn't she? Is it Sandra Bullock?
No,
in Red?
Sandra Bullock's not in Red.
Who's in Red?
Helen Mirren.
No, the girlfriend of Bruce Willis. In Red. The girlfriend, the one who works for...
Oh, I don't remember what her name is, but it ain't Sandra Bullock.
Who is it, though?
I don't fucking know.
I'm going to have to look now.
I don't know. I didn't even think she was that famous. But no, Sandra Bullock can definitely do an action comedy. Channing Tatum can definitely do an action comedy as well. Daniel Radcliffe could pretty much do whatever he puts his mind to.
Oh no, I do apologise. It was apparently Mary Louise Parker. I thought.
Yeah, I told you it was someone.
Honestly, I thought they were more. Oh, that's how I knew. She was in fucking Weeds. She was the mum in Weeds. That's
and
where...
Brad Pitt is able to do most things.
And she was the snooty secretarial woman in Red.
Yeah.
Not Red, R.I.P.D.
Right. But that's films, basically, fuck all.
You seen anything good? No? I have now seen The King's Man.
Okay. Is it good?
It's exactly... Yeah. So, a lot of people...
If you're nodding your head and you've watched it before me, we're going to fall out, lady.
It is good, isn't it? Yeah. That's it. He's leaving it. You're not sleeping on my sofa. You can beg her off. No, it is good. The thing... So, certain people have said they don't like it. And I know why they don't like it. Because Taron Egerton and... I can't think of any of the other...
Colin Firth.
Or, none of the original cast.
Well, no, because it's a prequel set in World War One. So, why on earth would they be?
They
made it very obvious to begin with that it's a prequel.
Yeah.
It's about the first King's Man. Hence the fact why it's called The King's Man.
Yeah. And it literally explains that creation so well. And it pokes fun at history.
As it's supposed to.
It does it just the right way. It does set up for a sequel.
Yeah.
Which I don't see a problem with, because what I would hope with the sequel is it will basically take it from where they leave it at the end of the film and create that bridge to what it was at the start of The Kingsman, the first one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where it was the four knights of the round table. Because, if you like, they've kind of got half a round table at the minute.
Yeah.
At the end of the first film. And I think that the second one can bridge that gap to be a full round table. I know it was fucking a...
Well, for me, they could even potentially look at doing... Going completely shit to the wall, crazy like Kingsman has always been... And they could then turn around and say they'll follow on doing the film that follows on from The Golden Circle, second Kingsman film, and pull all of the original founding members of the Kingsman out of cold storage, like they've been in cryogenic fucking sleep for 50 years. Because that would fit in the logic of the Kingsman.
They always do stupid stuff,
so why not?
It would. I think the second one will also could also do a good explanation with the American one.
Yeah.
I can't remember what that's...
The Statesman.
Is that what they were called? I couldn't remember. I think that's something we could get from the second King's Man film. But it does what it was meant to do. It was entertaining. For Christ's sake, if you want historical accuracy, I beg you, go watch any other World War One film.
Yeah.
Because there's a great bit in it. I am going to spoil it. There's a great bit where the King's Man... And Rasputin are having a fight. And Rasputin is doing the fucking Russian dancing to dodge all his hits. And I tell you what, in my head, I couldn't get out of my head, rah, rah, Rasputin. But I honestly think that that's what was playing in the background when they were filming it.
Because
his steps are matching that beat. But then it's not, that song isn't in the film.
No.
And I wonder if they couldn't get the rights or something.
They probably just didn't put it in because they knew everyone. They'd probably just go, oh, right, well, they had to do that, didn't they? So they probably just kept it out on purpose.
Yeah, but it would have been even funny. But no, it's a good film. People aren't liking it because Taron Egerton and Colin Firth and all the others aren't in it. And then you got a few people not liking it because of historical accuracy. It's not meant to be.
No.
And the last thing is, there's a shock in it. And I think a lot of people were very dead set against that shock.
Mm.
But the shock is needed, or the rest of the film wouldn't really work.
Okay.
And there's a great bit where the main Kingsman guy is doing some parachuting and just fails miserably. It's great. You know, there is the humour in it. It's a Kingsman film. If you've got a problem because Taron Egerton's not in it, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Right, we'll move into the news then. The old Metro. We've now found an ad blocker that actually blocks all the ads for the Metro, which is total ad block, just in case you want to know.
Metro, go fuck yourself.
So, faith healer hammered nail into pregnant woman's head so she'd have a baby boy. This happened in Pakistan, and they're now hunting what they're calling a sorcerer, in quotes. Mm.
Narrowly missed the brain, fortunately.
Looking at that, he barely got fruit skull.
I don't know, that's pretty close.
No, but he's pretty much just entered fluid layer, hasn't he? He's not really gone deep enough to go much further.
That's pretty fucking
close. It won't make a difference anyway. She ain't having a boy.
So what, hold on, did they get it backwards? If you put a nail in the skull, you're definitely not getting a boy.
Yeah, I think that's the problem.
For fuck's sake.
I mean, I don't understand understand why this day and age people are looking at dark age medicine to actually try and make things work. Because that's the sort of thing they did in the dark ages.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got a sore head. Well, let me hammer a nail into it and it'll feel much better. I don't think it will somehow, pal. Do you know what I mean? It's fucking stupid.
I love it when you get fucking going on.
It just makes no sense. I mean, I get that people always want, you know, what they want, but why on earth are they thinking, well, a nail in the head, well, that'll definitely cause me to have a boy. Where's the logic? Where is the logic? There is none, is there?
No, there isn't.
Where's the scientific evidence to back up the fact?
I love that quote from Dr. Khan, the one who treated her at the hospital.
She was fully conscious but in immense pain. Well, I'm not surprised. She got a fucking nail in her head.
So what is it? Faith is questionable practices rooted in mystic Sufi law. It's common across...
Well, that's nail look.
Yeah. It went in.
It's only a small one.
2 inches.
Yeah, if it had used a 9-inch nail, you don't know.
She'd be dead, I do know. Or at least severely drain damaged. No, scratch that.
Brain damaged. Thank you. Not drain damaged. What the fuck did you just say?
I don't know.
Drain damaged.
Drain damaged, I think is what I said.
Jesus.
He won't help me.
Dr. Khan said a hammer or another heavy object had been used to knock it in. No, he fucking used it like a thumbtack.
Have you tried getting them in your walls lately? You can't do it.
No, I use a hammer to put them in.
Yeah, you have to. No, I think they've gotten worse over the years, thumbtacks.
Well, I think the problem with a lot of thumbtacks is they're not using the good materials now, and a lot of people don't have plaster walls, do they?
No.
But no, that is just stupidity. Of course he used a fucking hammer or a heavy object to put in. Oh, Jesus. We have collected the CCTV footage from the hospital and hope to reach the woman soon. We will soon lay our hands on the sorcerer. What is this going to be? What are we going to do? Get a fucking fellowship going? Fuck's sake.
And you have my bow.
See four fucking hobbits and a dwarf running around in Pakistan looking for a sorcerer. Axe. What the
and
fuck
my
is that?
My AK-47.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. We will soon lay our hands on the sorcerer. Oh my lord. Right, we'll move
on. Which sorcerer is it? Sauron, Saruman?
See, normally, now with this story, normally when you see a pig of any sort in a pub, it normally comes in a bag and it's like pork scratchings or something. But
yeah.
This pig just wanted a drink. So
he went into a working men's club.
And they had to lure him out with cheese and onion crisps.
So you got cheese and onion crisps?
He wandered into a working man's club at 10 p.m. in County Durham shortly before closing. At 10 p.m?
Yeah. Working men's clubs are normally shut by 10:30 still, you know.
Well, the one I used to go and drink in my own town, he used to be open until gone midnight.
No, quite a lot of them shut. Yeah. Hang on, I got a question for you.
How did the fuck did you know the pig's name?
Hang on. Were it open till midnight? Or did they just let you stay in there till
midnight? No, the doors didn't get locked for the lock-in till midnight, and then you could stay until 2 o'clock.
Quite a lot of them do shut at 10:30, though.
Yeah. The pig, believed to be called Roddy, how they know the bloody pig's name, and it's not like he told them, was it?
I assume they knew the farmer who owned the pig.
Believed to be called Roddy, ran around the bar hoping to get strokes from the punters. How did he fucking know that?
Well, he was probably doing
He didn't come in and go, I need to be stroked. I need to be stroked. My name's Roddy.
No.
Did
he? What he was probably doing, he's doing what dogs and cats do when they want a bit of food.
It went in because it obviously smelled some form of food and it thought it were going to get fed.
She's doing crisps, apparently.
They got some crisps from behind the bar.
Pigs aren't allowed in the venue. Well, I bet that's off the fucking punters kicked out then.
Yeah. Well, what about dogs? Are dogs allowed in the venue?
I don't know.
If dogs are allowed, pigs should be allowed about the same size. We got a garden down the bottom with a big fence, so we kept him in there. All right. Who keeps a pig at an allotment? I don't think you could keep animals on an allotment.
I think it depends on the allotment association.
Everyone was laughing about it. It was a bit of entertainment for a Tuesday night.
Well, that's why they let it.
That's the only fucking entertainment you can have on a Tuesday night, it must be a snow.
Fantastic. Moving on to the next.
Started speaking Simmies.
Well, that was it, though, wasn't it? It were a Tuesday. I bet they didn't.
Slow night.
Well, bingo on a Monday, ladies' night on a Wednesday, karaoke on a Friday. You've got no choice but for the... And then you get Bill with his mobile disco.
Well, I mean, if it was a proper workings men club, they could have gone, right, lunch has arrived and had a hog roast.
Yeah? Although that didn't look like a food pig to me.
Any pig can be turned into bacon. London Posters...
What, even them little ones that Paris Hilton puts in her handbag?
Yeah.
You wouldn't get much off it, though.
It'll still be a meal.
Or at least a bacon sandwich.
Yeah. London Posters stagger around after accidentally eating a load of hash brown.
I hear this story one more fucking time. I'm going to launch someone out of window.
So, Royal Mail have launched an investigation into a video that showed postmen staggering around, staggering in the street after accidentally eating brownies laced with cannabis. The workers said to have mistaken the edibles in a Pablo Choco Bar box for innocent treats were filmed walking unsteadily and needing help on their rounds in Clapham.
Yeah, basically, the way I've understood it is if there's food left that's not been collected after so long, the posties, until this happened, were allowed to help themselves. Since this has happened, the Royal Mail have gone, no, we ain't eating the leftovers now.
I mean, come on. I mean, who gives a shit? Just because they've gotten stoned and gone to work, leave them to it, man. As long as people got the post.
But did they? Royal Mail expects the highest standards of behaviour from all our people at all times.
But it weren't their fault. They didn't realise they were eating fucking cannabis, did they? We are taking this matter very seriously. We have commenced an investigation which will determine whether any further action, including disciplinary action, might be taken. Well, I'm sorry, but if any of them postmen that were basically spiked lose their jobs over it, it is not fair. And I'm pretty sure the unions will get involved and they'll all get the jobs back anyway.
Thing is, nothing will happen because there's been... people have just found it amusing.
Yeah. We're also reminding all staff at delivery office of the correct procedures of dealing with items with no address for delivery or return, which will basically be putting it in a holding area for 28 days and then binning it.
Or setting it on fire or whatever they do, yeah.
But, yeah, a bit of a laugh for anyone there that wants to look at postmen staggering around.
This one, I just... I can't get my head around this. I've been doing this for years.
Dad finds new way to enjoy himself with a vacuum cleaner, and no, it's not attaching it to himself.
Speaks the voice of experience.
No, I've never stuck my dick in one. Never. No. Too dry.
Right. So what I'm hearing is you want a tub of Vaseline for your birthday.
Yeah. Yeah, and a decent Dyson. Right, a creative dad has become very hands-on in his home after discovering he could use his rug as a canvas.
I'm going to have to start bringing a bottle of whiskey to these as well as a microphone at this rate.
So, like, basically what this guy's done is he's gotten bored because he's not been able to go out and mow his lawn and put his lines in. Yeah. We all know that's what dad likes to try and
do. Because it's been too wet.
And he's then decided that he'll pick the Hoover up instead, and he's figured out that if he brushes it one way...
It's darker.
So he's now started putting faces in. He's done Donald Trump, not bad. He's done the Mona Lisa, not great.
It's not great.
And then he's done the Here's Johnny from The Shining, which you can only tell it is just because you sort of, you know what the face looks like. But other than that, it's pretty shocking.
I think it's better than his Mona Lisa, to be honest.
Yeah. What's that? A race car?
An F1 car, if you want to get...
I mean, he's not bad. Slash. I mean, he's...
Apparently, it normally takes him 15 to 20 minutes, Pennywise.
He's not done too bad. That's the idea.
Yeah, he's done the dad lawn, where dark one way, light the other. He's done that.
Which is easy to do in a shaggy piled carpet.
Yeah.
You know, especially a darkish coloured one like that. But he's done all right with that. That's pretty good.
He's done like a... like a circle effect with it.
Yeah. Then we've got checker lines and chevrons.
Looks like, I was going to say it looks like something you'd find on a racetrack, that, doesn't it?
He's very good at it. Mm. Whether or not it needs to be put in a national or international news story, probably not.
Yeah, but let's be fair, mate. Other than perhaps the faith healer, did we need to know that a pig had wandered into a working men's club? Did we need to know that the postman had gotten stoned?
Yeah. Yeah, of course we did. Because that's a national institution. It's a national infrastructure.
I'll give you half a point on that one.
But in terms of the bloke drawing
and,
in...
And in terms of the next one, did we really know?
No, we didn't know. But, you know, but who cares? It's the Metro.
So 2 out of 5 stories we needed to know. That's less than half, mate. We failed.
The reason I've chosen this one is because it is pure and utter conjecture. They have no fucking clue... What time of year it was.
Let's fucking read it and figure out if they do have a fucking clue.
Last days of the dinosaurs arrived in the spring.
Right. Let's see how they work this out then.
Let's see. They've used extremely powerful x-rays and carbon isotope records of bones and fish that died less than an hour after the asteroid hit.
Carbon isotopes act as a tracer on how carbon atoms have undergone...
But here's my problem.
Okay.
The season pattern that we have now is not the same seasonal pattern they had 2 million odd years ago. It's just not.
I'm going...
The season pattern over the last 200 years has fucking changed.
I'll agree. Right. Here's my assumption. It's either going to be the spring of that time. It's going to be a spring. And it depends
potentially,
how...
Potentially, if spring...
Just hear me out.
If spring just, even happened.
Right. Let's say it did, right? Just let me get fucking through this, dickhead. If they had a spring back then, they'll have done it by the way, like, what they'd eaten and absorbed was shown through this carbon stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or it was effectively the same time of year of... our spring by literally going effectively think like rings on a tree year by year. I'm assuming it's the former.
So they're saying that basically once the asteroid hit, the shock would have caused huge standing waves of water to move all the sediment and engulf the fish and basically bury them alive under the water.
Yeah.
They found that the fish were so pristinely preserved with their bones showing almost no signs of chemical alteration and their soft tissues were intact. So, fine, they've got perfectly preserved fish that they're then able to do the carbon dating, but they don't know what the seasonal patterns were actually
like those
years ago.
Right, so it's the availability of zooplankton, which it was likely to eat, was at its peak between spring and summer. So, all right, so they've narrowed it down to let's go 6 months.
Yeah, which
most of better than a kick in the teeth.
But we all know that most of the time, seasonal patterns back then, there wouldn't have necessarily been a winter. Not the sort of winters that we were used to. They would have had a hot season and a wet season.
Now, see, that's something that's like... That bit's actually open for debate. Because I was... Legitimately, I was watching a few videos on it, like, a couple of weeks back. What they basically said is that before the asteroid hit that killed them off, there was already more volcanic activity that created things like the Hawaiian Islands and the Japan. Japan. I don't know why I said the Japan.
Well, the Japan Islands.
Yeah. And the temperature was getting a lot colder. So actually...
Yeah, they were possibly coming into starting having those sorts of things.
Well, they'd had some because the population was already on massive decline because of the sudden change in the way the Earth was behaving.
But this is... Most of it would have more than likely been caused through natural causes from the increase of temperature just on the planet anyway. There was more life on the planet, which means there's potential for more methane gas to be released and more greenhouse gases causing global warming, which would then in turn change the seasonal patterns, which is what we're seeing now. We're nearing that same mass extinction event that the dinosaurs were at, effectively. But for them to turn around and go, this happened 66 million years ago, it was definitely the spring, is pure conjecture, and they need to reword the way
I think that's what the news article put. I think what the right way to say it would have been that it happened in the warmer season of the northern hemisphere, so the colder season of the southern.
Yeah.
So spring or summer, so yeah. Because it could have been, you're right, it could be late spring, it could be early summer, it could be late, I mean, probably wouldn't be late summer in fairness. They can probably go, it wasn't, at least it wasn't late summer.
Yeah.
But, alright, I'll give it spring, summertime.
Obviously they're saying that these findings are going to help them figure out why certain animals didn't perish at the same time as... the other animals, and it's basically
I know most of the... They reckon that most of the animals that survived were burrowers.
Yeah. But they're saying that a lot of it is to do with, like you just said, the northern hemisphere and the southern hemispheres. The way that they're always opposite in season, that's potentially because they'd already prepared.
That's why a lot of people from the northern hemisphere go to Australia for Christmas.
Yeah.
Summer over there.
Yeah, you have your Christmas dinner's a barbecue.
We'll have a Boxing Day barbecue on Queensland Beach.
That's it. And that's it.
That's it. We're done.
There's not really, like I say, there weren't really a lot to talk about anyway, so we've padded it out. We can, but...
How long have we been going for?
57.
We've not done bad. We're about right. We're about right. Last month we're a shorter one anyway. Yeah. So, yeah. But yeah.
Having a quick look before we leave you.
He's now got... What are you looking for?
Just to see if we've got more to talk about next month.
I know there's some movies for next month.
In terms of gaming, not really.
No. Although I'm sure some... Movies, I'm sure we've got... Well, there's at least one. There's at least one. I don't know why you didn't just click next. Oh, there's two. Three. Flipping heck, everything's coming out next month.
That one.
Four.
Because that's Nick Cage playing Nick Cage.
Oh, is it? Yeah, there's at least four. Because they've not updated it.
Yeah, so...
There's at least four or five.
There's not really any games, but there'll be some more films to talk about. And the Metro, we'll just do the Metro. So
yeah, and if we don't find anything, if they don't sort themselves out soon, we might have to look at alternative ideas.
Yes.
But yeah. Well, I'm going to bugger off then. Yeah. Are you?
That's it.
All right. See you later.
See you next time. Bye.